Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit dollarshaveclub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Welcome back to the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on King of OX.
Back at it with an unexpected show this evening. We expected of Cardinals baseball, but the Cardinals and Reds rained out. Doubleheader, split doubleheader tomorrow as they'll play the first game fairly early in the morning. That's going to be, what, an 11:50 first pitch? I should know this off the top of my head, but yeah. And then the second game will be the normally scheduled time. So our broadcast tomorrow will begin for game number one at 10:45 for the 11:40 first pitch. And then our broadcast for game two, 5:40 first pitch, will be at 4:45. Cardinals have announced that Miles Michaelis will start game number one. Steven Matz will start game number two. And you would think that they'll get a player added to the roster because it's a doubleheader. I would think there is a good chance that they add somebody that can give them length. Maybe that's a Gordon Graceffo. Maybe it's somebody else that, you know, even a Rodri Munoz has been stretched out a little bit. But somebody like Gordon Graceffo probably makes a lot of sense because if something happens in game number one with Miles Michaelis, you can have some cover and that can maybe help you for game number two. But that's what's going to be coming up tomorrow. If you want to join the program, now is the opportunity to do so. Multiple ways to get connected. But if you do want to call in, you can do so at 314-436-7900. That's 314-436-7900. That is the number to call. That's also the number to text. If you have anything Cardinals related to get to, you can tweet at me at Matt Pauley on air, MattPauley on air. Or if you are watching on the video stream, you can just leave a comment and we can address those comments as we go along throughout the course of the program today. We were talking about the road record. Somebody from the 618 says, I know it's all frustrating, says, I understand completely the questions and the doubts will always be there about road games, player decisions, manager decision strategies. It's all part of the business of the game. You know, something... this is going to kind of sound funny. We're, what, 3 weeks into the season? 4 weeks into the season? Like, we're not that deep into the season. There have been more moments here early on in the season where decisions have been made in games that have became really interesting talking points. And it's fun for me. I really enjoy it. I can't tell you. With, you know, being able to like dissect the movie, like what we did on Red Bird Rush Hour today. And if you missed the show, you can always go back and find the archive version of the show either on the video platforms or if you just want to listen to it on podcast form, you can find the podcast at KMOX.com and via the Odyssey app. Kevin Wheeler and I spent like 30 minutes today breaking down all aspects of the decision for Mason Wynn to bunt yesterday in the fifth inning with runners on at first and second and nobody out. And I like, maybe I'm just a nerd when it comes to baseball. I think we're all nerds about something. Like the things that you're passionate about, you're kind of a nerd about. And maybe I should just use the word passionate and not nerd. But you know, that's the sort of thing that I really like to be able to dig into. And I say this about Ollie a lot, Oliver Marmol. I always like respect the decisions that he makes because I know they're well thought out. Even when I disagree with them, there's the path that he takes down, that he goes down to find the decisions that he makes. They're always reasonable. Always at the very least, they are reasonable, and more often than not, they're spot on. You know, something like yesterday, he makes the decision to bunt Mason Winn to get runners at second and third with Lars Nootbaar to come up to the plate because he likes the idea of Nootbaar batting with runners at second and third and feels like that's a great opportunity to drive in two runs. That is a completely legitimate way to look at things. I'm not mad about that decision. That's the route he went down. Like I think his reasoning, his motivation for that decision is a completely legitimate thing. Would have I done it that way? No, I wouldn't have. In that spot, I'm letting Mason Winn swing away, knowing that I've still got a pretty good chance to turn this into at least one run, pretty good chance to have this be two runs, and I'm leaving open the opportunity for this to be a big inning. And in today's game of baseball, that's how you win games. You win games with big innings. And so I would have done it slightly different than he did it. That doesn't mean what he did was wrong. It also doesn't mean what I would have done was right. I'm also not somebody who is really worried about like the outcome in terms of if it was a good decision or a bad decision. Like the other day when the Brewers used McGill in the ninth inning, there were a lot of, and he gave it up, right? That was when Arenado hit the home run. There were a lot of people out there that puffed up their chest a little bit and said, you see, this is why you don't use your closer on the road in the ninth inning. And generally speaking, like, and this goes back to that Mets game where they had the heart of their order coming up and Helsley didn't pitch and a lot of people wanted Helsley to be in there. Most managers in baseball do not use the closer in the ninth inning on the road. And 99.9% of the time, I agree with that decision. That is, generally speaking, the correct decision. That is the correct way to manage a baseball game. But not every moment is the same. And in that situation with the Mets, and I'm not trying to relitigate something from over a week ago, but in that situation with the Mets, I think you also look at who's going to be coming up and things like that. So, again, going back to the decision-making process of an Oliver Marmol, his decision-making process was a very legitimate one in that moment. That there was a reason not to pitch Helsley. There's also a reason to pitch Helsley. And the fact that McGill gives up a home run to Arenado a week later in that sort of situation and doesn't have success as a closer in the ninth on the road, that's not a reason not to do it. There are other reasons not to do it. That's not one of them. So I really enjoy that. And so, you know, that move, there's just been a bunch of them. There was a time earlier this year where it felt like Winn could have been pinch hit for. I think Gorman was on the bench and they didn't do that. There's just been a bunch. There's been a lot of moments this year where it's been kind of one of those 50-50 calls or 51-49s where decisions that were made weren't bad decisions, but it's decisions that it's fun to talk about. It's fun to really kind of go down a rabbit hole on why the decision was made the way it was made. And maybe I'm just being a prisoner of the moment. I am well aware of the fact that that can happen. But to me, it feels like there have been more of those moments this year than there are in most years, especially at this point in the season. And the other side of that is, look, the Cardinals are playing a lot of close games, right? Decisions matter more in games that are close. And if you make a decision that doesn't work for you and you're up six runs or you're down six runs, it didn't really impact the game. It was just a decision that maybe changed the final score. But the Cardinals keep playing games that they're competitive in. That's the thing about this. There's only been like two games this year that they've just been completely out of, completely rocked, like not in the game whatsoever. And there was that game against the Braves. No, check that. It wasn't the Braves. There was a game against Boston and a game against the there was one other one. I can't even think of which one it was. So basically, there's been like two games this year where they haven't been in it. And when you are playing close games every single night, decisions that are made are, there's that much more of a spotlight on them. Let's grab John, who's giving us a call. Hey, John, you're on the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Hi, Matt. Enjoy your show.
Thank you.
I just wanted to make a comment on Mozeliak and why he still has a job. It boggles my mind. He decimated the farm system, and yet the owner seems to go along with it. And I don't think I'm alone in my beliefs if you heard the reaction of the crowd on opening day when he was announced. He's like a lame duck president because his successor, I don't know what they're doing between the two of them, but why doesn't the owner just let Mozeliak go, save that money, plug it back into the farm system? I mean, he needs to be held accountable.
John, can I stop you? Because you've said a couple things I want to kind of go back with you on. So hang tight here. I've got a couple follow-ups. Do you really think he's decimated the farm system, or do you think you're being a little strong in your wording there?
Well, if you look around at the Cardinals that he traded out of the farm system, a good example is a Rosarena. He's just one that was an impact player.
But no, if you say he decimated the farm system, that infers that the farm system is really bad. And I would contend that there's a lot of... Hold on. I let you talk. Let me talk a little bit here. We go back and forth. I would contend that there's a lot of guys on the big league roster that are pretty darn good that have been produced from the minor league system. Brendan Donovan, Mason Winn, Victor Scott, Matthew Liberatore, Pedro Páez, Ivan Herrera. Like, I can go on. There's a bunch of guys at AAA to be pretty excited about. Michael McGreevy, Quinn Matthews, Jimmy Crooks. Like, that's, to me, if there was nothing coming and if there was nothing there from the farm system, that would be an example of a decimated farm system. So my first thing is I would push back on your use of the term decimated.
Okay, Matt, but where are they at? They're one place ahead of the last place Pittsburgh Pirates in the worst division of all of baseball. That sums it up.
Okay, but that doesn't have anything to do with a farm system and whether or not it's decimated.
Well, sure it does. If he had held on to the... I don't think he's a good baseball man, okay? If he had held on to those players that he traded away out of our farm system, we wouldn't be in second to last place.
If Randy Arozarena's on the team right now, you think they're not in the exact same spot?
Him and others.
Like who?
Yeah, that are difference makers.
Who?
There was a pitcher that he let go. That wasn't he the Cy Young Award winner one year?
I mean, look, Alcantara was obviously in the organization, but I don't think anybody looks back at that trade and say it wasn't needed at the time. The Arizona guy was in the organization, but nobody saw him going to the spot that he's in right now. Like, he's made trades, and some of those guys have gone on to do things. Arozarena is obviously the one that I think sticks out to people. But the jury is still out on that one a little bit, and it's starting to turn based off what we've seen here recently. And then,
well, okay, maybe it was a poor choice of words, man.
Okay,
but if they're investing all this money in the farm system, I mean, tons of money. Why? Because it was decimated.
Yeah. Okay? Look. They needed to redo the farm system, the work that Heim Bloom is doing. And that's the second part of what you said that I want to respond to. First off, you don't move on from John Mozeliak and then all of a sudden have his salary to spend places. First off, his salary is a drop in the bucket when you're dealing with big things like they're dealing with, and he still has a contract. So even if they would have let him go, they're still paying for him. I would contend, John, that the work that Heim Bloom is doing right now to try to get the farm system back to a point where it is drafting and developing at a better rate than it has been in recent years, that work, bluntly, is more important right now than some of the stuff that John Mozeliak's doing. So let Heim focus on that part of the job for this year, and then he'll step in next year. I have no people who want Mo gone now, it doesn't do anything for you at this point. He's done at the end of the year, and Heim is focused right now on the things that are going to have a longer, more exponential impact on this organization.
Okay, but again, my point is, Mozeliak is a lame duck.
Yeah, okay. Yes, he is.
Okay, and you're spending money on a lame duck. Why?
Well, I mean, okay. Then we would go back 3 years and say, why did you give him the contract extension 3 years ago? And if you want to make that point, it's a valid point. Should have they not done that 3 years ago or whenever that was done? But I don't think that's an argument for 7:20 p.m. on April 29th, 2025.
Okay, Matt, can I put a plug out for the Kentucky Derby this Saturday?
Sure.
If people want to come over to friendly Fairmont Park, the post time there for live racing is 1:30. And we will be televising the Derby. In fact, people can.
Oh, John, I think, did we lose you? We lost John. We did not do that on purpose. We were not trying to stop him from mentioning that. So I think he's at Fairmont Park, Kentucky Derby. I love Fairmount Park. I've never been there, but I just love the idea of it. I love the idea of horse racing. So, John, we did not do that on purpose. We got to take a break. We got phone calls. We'll continue on this conversation in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. No Cardinals baseball tonight due to the rainout in Cincinnati. Doubleheader coming up tomorrow into a spirited conversation. Let's keep rolling with some phone calls here at 314-436-7900. Paul has given us a call. Hey, Paul, you're on Sports Open Line.
Hey, Matt. Great show tonight.
Thank you.
And I think I respectfully would just ask John to be patient and just, you know, not take things at face value as of the end of April. It's not pretty, but I think it's definitely going to do nothing but improve as the season goes on, and we're going to have fun with the process. But
I hope so. And I really enjoyed that conversation with John. Like, I got no problem with people challenging me, and I thought it was a fun call for sure.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But I think our starting pitching, despite Eric Fetty having a laying an egg kind of with the walks and getting off on the wrong foot. And we were probably destined to lose with Jose Quintana, who, don't get me started, you know, we may have beat the Phillies in that 2 out of 3 series if he wasn't replaced 73 pitches into the night, and first after he struck out the first guy in the sixth inning and we're up 2-0 and we end up losing the game 5-2. But with regard to, you know, the young guys, right now, I think the biggest thing that's going to help our offense is to get Ivan Herrera back, arguably our best hitter, at least with OPS. And I hope he's only like a week away, I would guess, as we'll get him in there as DH. But, you know, if just one of Nolan Gorman and Jordan Walker can take that next step and start to do what we think that we all think they're capable of, oh my gosh, what a difference that would make. And then I'm really excited, and I'll hang up and let you respond, but about these two young outfielders, and that's, again, indicative of how we're going to have fun this year by just trying some of these young guys. Barrero and then Matt Kupierniak, all the guy did in spring training is hit, and he's a hit machine. So I'll hang up and listen to your thoughts.
Yeah, I think Kupierniak especially is the one who's maybe the most interesting guy to talk about. And I don't know what it's going to take for him to get an opportunity at the big league level. And his numbers this year at Memphis, not great. He needs to hit a little bit more at Memphis. He's got a sub-200 average here at the moment. But to your point, during spring training and even that exhibition game between the Cardinals and Memphis, he has looked really, really good. So I think the bottom line is this team is fun to watch more often than not. Now, like yesterday, that's the or not. Yesterday was not a fun game to watch. That was a challenging game from an offensive standpoint. So it's, and they've had more of those here recently. But generally speaking, going and watching Mason Wynn, going and watching Victor Scott the second, and I think they are going to get better as the year goes along. The big question is, can they get better quick enough that they're not buried in the standings? Because if they keep on this 12-17 pace, we're 3 weeks out, a month out from them being buried. And at that point, you're looking to trade Ryan Helsley. You're looking to trade Eric Fetty. You might be looking to see if something's out there with Nolan Arenado. They have to stay within striking distance for, I think, the team to continue to feel like they're playing for something. But the young guys that we are seeing, that, you know, especially like a Victor Scott II, man, that's been so much fun watching him. Would you like to see a Jordan Walker get out of it? Yeah, I think you're right. Everybody would agree with what you just said. If you can start getting production from Walker or Gorman, that changes everything on this team. Let's grab Carlos, who's giving us a call. Hey, Carlos, you are on Sports Open Line.
How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing all right.
I'm doing fine. I've been a Cardinal fan my entire life. I want to see how the rotation is going to do for the next week since we have a rain delay and the rotation is going to be probably pushed up or pushed back for the next 6 days. And I want also how to look at the minor league system, how the minor league players from Double A and Triple A, how they doing. And I also, like the last call was saying, I want to see some of these young players, the young players that are doing great, Victor Scott. Basically, all the young players are doing good, but we just need some of these veteran players to step up more.
All right, Carlos, appreciate the phone call. As far as the rotation goes, tomorrow it's going to be Michaelis and Matt, just like it was going to be. And then everything else stays the same. They're staying in the six-man rotation. So Liberatore will pitch the series finale on Thursday, and then they'll open up that Met series on Friday with Sonny Gray and Eric Fetty and just roll from there. So no changes are being made. They're in the six-man rotation, so you don't have to push anything in terms of there was an unexpected off day today, two games tomorrow, but everything should be able to stay the same since they are in that six-man rotation. I would push back a little bit on you on saying that all the young guys are doing a nice job. They're not. There's some young guys who are struggling right now. Jordan Walker's struggling. Nolan Gorman is struggling. Victor Scott is, his numbers have come back a little bit, but I'm still pretty comfortable with what he's done. But the guys who are performing right now are Lars Nootbaar, Brendan Donovan, Nolan Arenado to a certain extent, Wilson Contreras here recently. So I would actually push back, and I would say from an offensive standpoint, it's actually some of the more established guys that are performing right now, and some of the younger guys have a little ways to go. Last text, are you paid by the Cardinals to be a cheerleader? Generally, I just ignore those type of texts, but I'm always amazed because I'm not going to like throw flames. I'm not going to throw fire. I'm not a hot take guy. I am critical. Like in the last hour, I've talked about the fact that the DeWitts, as much as I think they're really good owners, there is culpability there on for where this organization has gone to. I've talked about moves that last night, I'm not bunting Mason Wynn in that spot. I'm letting him swing away. I constantly say the things that I disagree with that's going on. I said that the work that Chaim Bloom is doing is almost more important than the work that John Mozeliak's doing because the Cardinals need to fix the farm system. Like I say all these things. And then I say the good things that are going on as well. You know what I am? I'm somebody who assesses everything in a very fair kind of way. And other people in the media like to just throw gas on the fire and everything is terrible and it's just nothing's good and fire everybody, sell the team, move them to Nashville, like all these stupid things that people say. That's not me. That's not me. I assess things from a place of looking at it and evaluating what's good, what's bad, and I share that. And you know what? It's not all bad with the Cardinals. It's not all bad. And God forbid I say something good that's going on and I get the, oh, you're a homer, you're a cheerleader, you're carrying water. Yeah. All right, Joe Roderick's going to join us in just a moment. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Sports Open Line right here on KMOX, an unexpected Sports Open Line because of the Cardinals' rainout. Doubleheader coming up tomorrow. Coverage of Game 1 is going to be at 10:45 tomorrow morning. So we've got a full day of baseball tomorrow right here on KMOX. Let's bring on one of the friends of the program. You see him, you hear him over at Sports Hub STL. They're just doing a great job over there. Not just of established voices like himself, but of really bringing in some new voices to talk St. Louis sports. It's been really fun to see a lot of the content that they have been producing here lately, digitally and everything they do. It's our good friend Joe Roderick. Hey, Joe, how are you?
Hey, Matt, how are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Unexpected show. Glad that we're able to talk with you a little bit. And like I said, you guys are always talking over at Sports Hub. We'll mention that a little bit more in a bit. Let's start with the Blues, though. How much fun has this been, just watching this run that the team has been on, and then for them to play the way they did in games 3 and 4, where it just feels like they have so much momentum right now?
It has been so much fun, and it is. I mean, you hear it. I think you hear it all the time. You hear a lot of people saying it around town that memories of 2019, and that's the last time that I've been this locked in to the Blues. I think COVID kind of killed my interest in it, and then they weren't good, and then it just so happens. I mean, we launched Sports Hub STL during the Four Nations tournament, like that was going on. We launched on February 17th, so they were right there during the Four Nations. And when they come back, they were just red hot. And prior to that, I was not really following them at all. And then when, start kind of scheduling it and doing the, watching our post-game shows every day. I haven't been on any of the post-game shows. You don't, if I'm on there talking hockey, we have a huge problem with our staff that night. But just watching some of the guys that know puck talk about it, it has been so much fun to watch this team. And now the run that they're on, the last two games at Enterprise, it just seems like such an amazing atmosphere.
Yeah, it is, and there's a lot of people who have really kind of jumped on this bandwagon, and it's just been a lot of fun. The only thing I would push back on you a little bit, I think they were interesting in 2022, and that was the year they lost to the Avalanche where Bennington went down, and it felt like if Bennington would have stayed in there, maybe they would have beat Colorado in that series. Maybe not. Colorado was really, really good. So I was certainly interested at that point, but to your point, they have been a mostly uninteresting team in most of the years since the Stanley Cup, and they are, it's amazing. They were boring and uninteresting at the beginning of this season, and then the coaching change happens, and now they are as interesting of a team that exists in the National Hockey League.
Oh, for sure. You can see the energy, and you see the press conference. What Monty today shows up to the press conference, huge cut on his face, and it just seems like these guys are locked in. And people that you talk to that are around this team all the time have said there is such a huge shift in the atmosphere of this organization when Monty got behind the bench. And nothing against Bannister, but you could just tell that the guys are so locked in on him and have bought into everything that he has brought over to this team.
And the backstory, by the way, on the bandaged cheek for Montgomery today, he was telling his guys that, you know what, it's not that hard to block out in front of the net. So he was on the ice, he's blocking out, and then there's like a slap shot that goes off of the post, deflects off the post, and hits him in the cheek, and he had quite the bruise today. But that's perfect, right? Like, that just goes along with everything. And you know, he laughed about it and said hopefully it doesn't impact his ability to eat because that's what he likes to do. Like, it's just it there's so much personality and fun that's going on with this team.
Yeah, and if you're a player, they blew out the Jets at Enterprise those last two games. And if you're a player, any momentum that you had, I mean, how much more does that help you? How much more do you just buy in, and are you just willing to, you know, just lay out for that coach if that's the guy that's going to be out there trying to motivate you day in and day out?
All right, let's jump over to the Cardinals. We're talking with Joe Roderick. There's been good, there's been bad. That doesn't feel like they've really established their identity yet. At times, offensively, they're really good. Sometimes they're not. Starting pitching, for the most part, has been good. We know about the bullpen. We know that they play well at home. We know they haven't played well on the road. That there's a lot that I just said. What is your general takeaway of this team with where they sit right now, 29 games into the season?
It's pure frustration. It is, and I would imagine that I'm not alone in thinking that. You look at what they did that first week at home and the offensive output they had and the high praise that we were giving to Brant Brown for the approach and having these hitters ready. And I don't know where the miscommunication has seemed to happen, but so many games lately that it just seems like they're putting 1-0, 2 runs out there and the offense has just gone away. And I think it's not a coincidence that also happened right when Ivan Herrera went down. I think the Cardinals miss him a lot, but now, you know, along with the frustration of the team, there's the kind of, you know, we're revisiting the frustration of Jordan Walker. We're starting to see some of the issues with him that we've seen the last 2 years with him that got him sent down to Memphis throughout the season. And you keep reminding yourself, he's what, 23 years old? He's a kid and he is far, far from his prime. And you don't want to give up on him. You don't want to watch him go somewhere else and just have an amazing career. But at some point, something has to click here on the big league level because there's too much talent there. There is too much power in that bat. We've seen it. We've seen the 110-plus mile-an-hour exit velos off of him. We've seen the work that he's put in the outfield to become a very good right fielder for this team. We see all the tools there with him. And it's just not clicking, and it's happening way too much. And the Cardinals need to figure that out with him. I think that's one of the biggest things and one of the biggest frustrating parts of this season has been the lack of offense out of Jordan Walker. And then you add to that, I think we had the stat today that they have the second most quality starts of any team in baseball, second behind, I think, the Houston Astros right now. And they're just kind of, you know, letting them get away. They're 6-8, I think, in their quality starts that the pitchers have. That's not good. I mean, 14 quality starts, you need to have at least 12 wins out of that, right?
You do. And that's to see starting pitching, which was really, I think, a question mark coming in, to see what it's doing now and the fact that they can't take advantage of it. There's frustration. You know, I mentioned Jordan Walker. Aaron Judge made his major league debut when he was 24. So he was older than Jordan Walker is right now when he made his major league debut. And in his age 24 season, the dude hit 179. He didn't really start putting it together until his age 25 season. So, Joe, people want to throw Jordan Walker away because he's been around for a little while and hasn't put it all together yet. But he's literally 2 years short of the age where Aaron Judge started to put it together.
Right, and that's the thing. I mean, he has so much time in professional baseball still left, but if the conversation starts and there's any idea, and I don't know where he's at with options right now, but I mean, you've sent him down to Memphis how many times?
Yeah,
that's gotta mess with a guy at some point. You can't do it again, right? You can't keep sending him down there when he has a problem. He's got to figure it out up here. You have the big league coaches up here. You have the resources in St. Louis for him to figure it out. I don't believe he was set to be in the lineup today. I glanced at it really quickly, and then I saw the rain out, and I completely wiped the Cardinals out of my mind for tonight. But I don't think he was in the lineup today. And he does. He needs some days off if he's not going to figure it out, because you do have other pieces that we want to see up here.
This is where I lament him being sent down originally. Remember that year where he started off the season and he was on that long hitting streak, but he wasn't doing the things they wanted him to do in terms of getting the ball in the air. And all those things are important, but it felt like they jumped the gun in that moment, sending him down. And now I think you're right when saying you can't do that again. So if they would have handled him differently a couple years ago, maybe it's a different spot right now.
100%. Yeah. Right now, aside from the talent, aside from the hitting, you don't want to keep messing with the guys mentally with that. He needs to stay up here. He needs to figure it out here. If this is going to be a reset or the runway or whatever keywords that we keep hearing the organization use, then you know what? Let him go. Same with a guy like Nolan Gorman. If we're not going for a wild card spot, if that's not in the cards this year, if we're watching them fade away in the National League Central, then you let those guys play and you figure it out. You let Wynn, you let Scott, you let Walker, you let Gorman, you let those guys play every single day. And then you decide, okay, are those four guys going to be the core of the rebuild when everything else happens? Outside of, by the way, Donovan. I don't want to even hear rumors of Donovan possibly being on the trade block, because he is the leader of this team and he needs to be in the middle of that core too with whatever you have. So there you go. Five guys right there. Figure out the rest around them.
He is Joe Roderick, Sports Hub STL. They have content that they produce every single day. They do post-game shows for every single St. Louis sport. It's great. And by the way, there's a lot of young voices that are being featured there that maybe you haven't heard before, who I think are doing a really good job. So if nothing else, it's a great forum for this sports market to find some new voices, which is a good thing. So, Joe, always appreciate
it. We got a 19-year-old doing some of our Blues post-game stuff. I mean, that's how young we're talking with some of these voices that we have. And the guy does play-by-play. Jacob Stonick is his name. He does play-by-play for Lindenwood hockey, and he knows his stuff. So, yeah, those the post-game shows, everything on YouTube that people could watch after the game, and they can see. I mean, we had a guy, too, that came on and said he would shave his head if the Blues made the playoffs. And this is when they were far out. I think they were two or three back in the wild card, and now you can watch him on the post game shows completely bald. So we got a great crew there, along with a lot of established voices, as you mentioned, a lot of great young up and coming guys that you're going to hear in St. Louis for many, many years to come.
Joe, great stuff. Enjoy the time, and we'll talk again real soon.
Absolutely, Matt, anytime.
All right, that's Joe Roderick, Sports Hub STL. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the program. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
All right, starting to wrap up the program, the impromptu Sports Open Line. Appreciate all the people being tuned in. Again, Cardinals rained out tonight in Cincinnati. So let's go ahead and play two coming up tomorrow. Cardinals and Reds. Game one is going to start at 11:40 tomorrow morning. That means our coverage at 10:45. Tom Ackerman's going to have you for the pregame show coming up tomorrow. Miles Michaelis will be the game one starter. And then the second game is going to be a 5:40 first pitch, 4:45 for the pregame. And Steven Matz is going to start game number two. I'll have you tomorrow for game one post and then all of the game two pre and post. And of course, the most important part, the voice of the Cardinals, John Rooney, along with Ricky Horton. They will be bringing you all the action right here on KMOX and across the Cardinals radio network. This is lots of interaction. This has been a fun show tonight. So thanks for being tuned in. You never really know what you're going to get in these unscheduled sort of situations, but turned into a really good show. So we will talk to you again tomorrow for Cardinals baseball. Up next, it's the Gas House Gang with Oliver Marmol on KMOX.